Campo Ayrton Tinley, 1950-2005. Originally interviewed in 2002 for inclusion in What the Bleep Do We Know.
He loved to just speak English, and we felt that his English wasn't quite good enough for people who were unfamiliar with him. So as opposed to speaking English and not having any help, which we weren't that comfortable with, or speaking Tibetan and having a translator speak English, which he wasn't comfortable with, we kind of came up with this weird compromise we invented where we said, okay, you want to speak English? And actually, that does create a nice rapport with the audience. So go ahead and speak English. But we need somebody to kind of help explain what you're saying in English to the audience. And so we invented this little system. And it seemed to work. We did it quite a bit.
And what do you call the system?
Pronunciating. Because we decided it wasn't translating, since we weren't really translating Tibetan to English, going from one language to the other. We were kind of repronouncing Kempo's English. So we dubbed it pronunciating, and I became a pronunciator of Kempo's. It was kind of like a Kemplish to English translation.
Why did you come to this country?
So, this country is for very education and develop this world, special new technology for the peace and technology stuff to do make them better to world peace. So, I have interest to be Buddhist philosophy in logic and
both Buddhist philosophy and logic and science are interested in advancing the human condition. There's not much difference. The goals are the same.
So again, same question, Kempo. Why did you come to this country?
So I'm reason, really. And very important this century.
In this century and in this country, the United States, there's a lot of technological growth. It's important for us to support technological advancement because it also can be a positive influence on the human condition. All the peoples of the world share this common need. And because of that, it's important that we understand the need for technology as well as the need for Buddhist philosophy. Technology and Buddhist philosophy are both necessary and complementary components and support each other. There's often a misunderstanding that technology and spirituality are inherently in conflict. In fact, both are necessary and support one another. So we need to know what is necessary in order to achieve both personal and global harmony. We need better communication between scientists and spiritual practitioners. We are all aspiring to gain wisdom and understanding of our world.
And how is the Buddhist philosophy, how is that relevant to the scientists?
Because scientists is...
Scientists study the nature of the physical universe in order to understand what the universe is made of so that they might better be able to use that understanding to create a safer, more controllable world. Scientists want to advance the human condition for individual countries and individual human beings. But how do you do that? Can you do that through scientific research and, for example, atomic power alone? In order to really make that full advancement, we need the power of true wisdom. These complementary approaches together are what is necessary to achieve both individual happiness and world peace.
This world that we all see, that we all look at, the chairs, everything. What is it?
Yeah, that is the we see. The Buddhist philosophy say Buddha say that.
The Buddha said, in fact, that this world is a world of suffering because we only perceive at the level of conventional reality. We need to develop the wisdom and understanding to perceive on both the conventional level of reality and the ultimate level of reality. We need to transcend this misapprehension of reality and thereby ease the suffering, which is an inherent consequence of our limited view.
Suffering comes from illusion.
This suffering of ours stems from our illusions about the nature of reality. These illusions are a function of a subject-object view that we impose on the world. This view is a view of separateness. All our illusions come from that perspective. We need to understand the interdependence and connections in a unified view of reality and understand how our suffering actually comes from this illusory view. We need a method to help us see accurately. This is what the Buddha taught. This leads us to more personal happiness, which in turn can collectively lead to a better planet.
You said this world is illusion.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? You mean it's not real?
Illusion is this stuff for the Buddha told and true levels truth in Mahayana. Four levels.
The Buddha taught the two vehicles, Mahayana and Hinayana. Within the Mahayana, there are two levels of truth. One is the ultimate level of truth, and one is the conventional level of truth.
The conventional level is the illusion.
The conventional level is illusory. In fact, we suffer because we cannot perceive at the ultimate level of truth. We can only perceive on the relative level of subject and object, that is, the conventional level. And therefore we suffer. So we try to perceive at the ultimate level of reality, and we search for any kind of method, for example, new technology, atomic power, etc. But search as we might, we cannot perceive the ultimate level of reality using these mechanisms. The ultimate level of reality is fundamentally empty and not observable using these scientific methods.
Are you saying that all of this that we perceive as real is just empty?
Yeah, empty, because it's changing minute. You see,
everything we observe is changing minute by minute, eventually to ultimately disappear. Why? Because it is constantly changing. So it has no inherent static nature. So we say its nature is empty.
But we couldn't understand. The illusion is very heavy to relate in the conventional level. We have a lot of material attachment.
We have a lot of attachment to this material or conventional view of reality. Even though people accept that they were born as babies and ultimately age, they still don't really understand that the nature of the conventional level of reality is impermanence. The illusion of life is so strong that people don't accept that it's constantly going to change. This is a world of suffering because we don't understand the nature of impermanence.
Most people have trouble with the concept of illusion because, you know, I look at this camera and you look at the camera and it looks like a camera to both of us, but it's illusion. How can people understand that it is illusion when it looks so real?
Yeah, this is for, even you see, Buddhist philosophy, you understand to ground.
Buddhist philosophy enables you to understand the nature of the conventional level. What is reality? You come to understand that this camera, for example, exists in the conventional level, not the ultimate level. That the camera exists is an illusion, and that is what creates our suffering.
Why are we suffering in this world?
Why are we suffering in this world? Because even though we look, we don't accept that the nature of conventional reality is change.
Because the illusion is very heavy.
The illusion is very heavy. What is illusion? It means that we don't know the true nature of phenomena. If we knew that the nature of phenomena was emptiness, then there would be no more illusion.
No more illusion, no more suffering, no more attachment. And then we are, enlightenment is stable like Buddha's enlightenment.
What is the role in perceiving, in order to perceive reality, how do the emotions either fit in or keep us from perceiving the reality level?
The reality level is need to be a lot of effort to study, not only Buddhist philosophy, in all of religion, all of science, all of technology. We need understand. Those are Buddhist philosophy is all included there, they need to be wisdom. What interdependent originations comes
within
from
Buddhist
there?
Philosophy, there is the need for wisdom, for what the Buddha called interdependent origination. We need to understand that all phenomena are interdependently connected. Our perception of this material world is based on the subject-object relationship. When we transcend illusion, we understand that illusion stems from these interdependent relationships. Illusion comes from how our minds perceive.
My illusion comes from my mind. Your illusion comes from your mind.
You do not need to search anywhere else for the source of illusion. Wherever we search externally, we cannot find the source of illusion because your illusions come from within your mind. My illusions come from my mind. Without you, is there a camera there? You see the camera, but this is your illusion, not my illusion. My illusion is different. You see the camera from one side, and I see the camera from the other side. These are different illusions, but we both perceive it as one camera. We cling to illusions.
I'm wondering about the suffering and the idea that, again, how do our emotions? We were talking back at the house about how the emotions, how do they cause the suffering, and where do they fit into the perception of reality?
Yeah, emotion means everything comes from your mind illusion and your illusion, but they are illusions.
There are illusions there, but people don't know that. They think something outside of themselves is what is causing them problems. They search for the source of those problems, but they can't find it. The illusions breed the emotions associated with attachment and desire. And if people cannot control their minds, they become very emotional or even crazy. At that point, it doesn't make sense to them to study Buddhist philosophy. Their illusions are very heavy. So we need to control our emotions through the application of mental power. We need to control our negative tendencies, and we need to increase the positive by accumulating merit, that is, by helping each other, loving each other, by focusing on the positive.
To making world peace.
We were talking about greed as being one of those emotions you want to get rid of, and how you were saying about how by having greed inside you, then how that affects the world outside.
Yeah,
you?
The greed is inside your mind, because Buddha talked to what is.
If you harbor greed in your mind, the Buddha said, this leads to lower emotional states, which become obstacles to wealth. You become poor and therefore suffer. So the Buddha said that generosity is the antidote to those greedy mind states. If you use generosity as an antidote for greed, your mind will develop.
So they teach Buddha the antidote of the...
So the Buddha taught this as an antidote. If you are generous and honest to everyone from any country and treat them like yourself, you can create peace. Your greed will disappear. It will not control your mind, and your mind will become peaceful. As we all become peaceful, the world becomes peaceful. Otherwise, if you cling to your greed, this creates a worse condition for you. You become ensnared by your emotions.
About the Buddhist holy wars and that there never were any. You were saying something about how the teaching is that there's an external war that people go and fight and they kill each other, but there's the internal war where you're going to war against your faults or your tendencies or your emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, because Buddhism, they have not really said actually outside war, like holy war. Even they say outside war is not holy. That is, you know, why? Because killing each other, suffering. Holy means peace, not suffering. Then holy, I think. That is for you.
The war that I think is holy is when you fight against your emotions, your anger, your hatred. You need to study and to fight for wisdom, effort, morality, and generosity. Those qualities are your weapons in your inner war against your uncontrolled emotions. You need to control your emotions and your illusions, and then you are at peace and do not suffer. And those who have no suffering, they are the holy. Although Buddhism never actually referred to that as a holy war.
But it's, even if you said that's a holy
war. So even though that's not a war per se, you can call it an internal war. In order for you to become aware, you need to first control your emotions. Then you can help others, like the Buddha did, to control their emotions.
Then making world peace. That's the very holy.
That's what will lead to world peace, and that is very holy. You are suffering, and others are suffering. But any war where you kill your brothers or sisters, that is not holy.
How does the changing lead to the suffering?
Because why come from suffering? Because change.
Where does suffering come from? It comes from change. If nothing ever changed, there would be no suffering. For example, sometimes someone might be very healthy in the morning. Then after maybe only an hour, they get in an accident, and there is already change. So the reason he is then suffering is what?
Why?
Because of change.
Minute to minute and hour changing.
Minute to minute and hour by hour, things are constantly changing. That is the nature of the conventional level.
If change always causes suffering and everything around us change,
yeah,
then how do you ever stop suffering?
That needs unchanged and ultimate level.
You need to be capable of being aware of the changeless nature of reality at the ultimate level. You recognize the inherent emptiness of existence. You perceive that directly through the path of seeing. Then there is no more illusion and no more suffering.
No more changing.
You were talking about, you know, killing out your emotions.
Yeah.
You say that sort of thing. What do you do? How would someone, let's say, who's angry all the time? They always find themselves angry at the world. How do you get out of that?
The mental is.
This is really a problem of your illusions, of your mind. There are mental or emotional problems that cause people some damage. There are those problems. Yes, there are problems of a physical nature, and doctors can address them. But as for the emotional components, can doctors really fix those things? People need to understand the nature of truth and suffering. They need to understand their emotions, but they usually don't know how this works. They think that someone external to them is mad at them.
He and herself, emotional. They don't know. They think it's outside mad me. Someone asked, doing. Then they're angry all the way. Then mind's going crazy. So need to be understand to Buddhist philosophy, Buddha's teach, why this suffering, emotions comes from your he and her mind. Need to be understand. Then he and her mind control emotional, then be less angry and less jealousy, hatred, they not be more emotional, bad things.
So let's say someone who's angry, someone's always mad because someone's always doing something bad to them and someone's always cutting them off on the highway or whatever.
Yeah.
Are they creating all of that anger in their mind and then they just get the rest of the world to give it to them?
Because they don't know, really. They only did stuff.
People retain these negative emotions because they don't really know about Buddhist philosophy and instruction. They may have studied many other things or learned a lot about science or technology, and some of those things are very useful to us all. But they still haven't received really the proper instruction to have a more stable mind. They just haven't gotten very good instruction. They simply don't understand the relationship between emotions and suffering and the fact that all of this comes from their own minds. They hope that they can ask someone else and that that other person can solve their problems for them or do this for them. So they remain angry or upset or even a little bit crazy because there is a basic misunderstanding. They need to be clear about doing the right things, fighting their internal emotions. They need to know how to fight their own internal battles, not how to kill other people, their brothers and sisters. Everyone is our brother and sister. The differences we perceive are only inside our own minds. We really need to pray. Pray for mental clarification.
If I was, let's say, I personally was just found myself angry all the time, and I came to you, I said, Kenpo, I'm angry all the time, and this person did this, but, you know, I'm tired of being angry all the time.
Yeah, I think so. This is true, because sometimes you come in like that. Because why are you angry?
Yeah, sometimes we find ourselves angry or upset. You know, sometimes that just happens. And you wonder why you are angry. Maybe you're working very hard and you are tired. Then you get angry or upset, you know? It happens like that, right? But then maybe you need to take a little rest, feel nice and happy, and then you'll calm down. You can use that as a method, you know? Because you see that really it all depends upon your mind. Your mind is very important. In order to understand this, you need some education and some wisdom. Once you recognize this misunderstanding inside you, you can clear your mind, and then you'll feel better.
Okay, I want to ask a little bit about the concept of attachment to desire. And I read somewhere recently they said that attachment to the desire is really the same thing as being addicted to an emotion.
Yeah, emotional, but attachment is just you see object-subject. Then come
emotions are not bad per se, but with attachment, once you distinguish between subject and object, then feelings or desires start to arise. Really, there are just three feelings. One is pleasure, one is suffering, one is neutral. So as a subject, whenever you see any object, you establish a relationship and possibly an attachment. So as a feeling does arise, let's say this feeling is pleasurable, then you experience more attachment. From that attachment, and either the clinging to the pleasurable experience or its possible loss, comes your feeling of suffering. Ultimately, you want to even be free of that and be neutral. That is wisdom, just being neutral.
So this is the part of the ignoring. So best
whether life, death, or in the midst of any activities, just being neutral. Not understanding this is ignorance. So the best idea is that if suffering comes, just turn away. But it is more difficult than that. So we need to understand approaches to go beyond suffering. We need to grow the wisdom to learn how to abandon suffering. No one likes suffering. No people, no sentient beings like suffering. So they're all looking at how they can abandon it. Every sentient being is looking for pleasure. But then there also comes an attachment, and this attachment is making the next suffering. It is the cause of suffering. So we need to abandon this. Less attachment, less suffering.
Need to be balanced. To be hard to slow.
We need to strike a balance. We need to know how to slowly, slowly abandon suffering. We need to know how to abandon suffering and how to abandon attachment. Attachment is the cause of all our suffering.
But if we don't know.
But this is the very thing that we don't know. Even if you create pleasure or pleasurable emotions, these feelings then create this attachment or desire, and that again is the cause of suffering.
So how does the attachment cause the suffering? Because I'm thinking if I was someone sitting in the audience listening to this, they'd say, okay, Kenpo says that the attachment causes suffering, but gee, I don't see how the attachment to my boyfriend causes me suffering. They don't understand that.
That's true. You see, you have a lot of pleasure feeling with your girlfriend or another someone boyfriend, you know. That is the cause of...
So, for example, let's say you have a lot of pleasure or feelings with your girlfriend or boyfriend.
Then
But let's say you get divorced or you separate. There is suffering on both sides. But you see, in the beginning, you formed your relationship out of friendship. And out of that came pleasure. But because of attachment, the next step beyond that is suffering. That attachment is the cause of suffering. It's like a cycle. Something causes pleasure, but then that pleasure can be a source of subsequent suffering. But ironically, that suffering is actually an antidote to further suffering.
Because you suffering, you don't like.
Why is that? Because you don't like suffering. So therefore, you're motivated to study and advance your wisdom, to do spiritual practice. Then you can abandon your suffering and become enlightened.
Suffered from suffering.
So, ironically, the cause of your enlightenment is the suffering that you wish to avoid or prevent, because you understand the nature of suffering and you don't want to experience it. So, this is just a cycle of feelings. It's an interdependent connection. We see how each one of these, in turn, supports the other to create a cycle. Each is supporting the other. You know, desire is giving you feelings or pleasure. From that desire then comes more attachment. And the attachment creates suffering, and then suffering itself can be an antidote to suffering. Or suffering can lead to more suffering as well. But you have the antidote, which is wisdom. If you don't like suffering, then you'll do spiritual practice and study, and you will find the antidote to emotional desires or attachment. And then you will automatically abandon suffering. Without finding these antidotes to attachment, you can't really abandon suffering, because suffering is itself the direct result of desire and attachment.
So you need to be, you don't want suffering, you must be abandon desire, attachment. You need the antidote from there. You need to be wisdom.
Do the emotions cause the self?
Yeah, emotion is creasing. Self is creating.
In fact, the emotions come from this sense of self.
Comes from self.
The self thinks, I come first. I am the most important.
Not looking.
It does not look outside at others. It never says, they are important. Every person is thinking, I am important. The Buddha had a word for this. He called it Dowa. Dowa means moving.
Why moving?
Why use the word moving? Because the person is constantly moving in search of a better condition.
Do better. There's nothing to do there because illusion.
Said everything is an illusion. If an enlightened person was here, would they see trees and would they see the ground, or would they see the world that we do, or do they perceive it differently?
They do all things, but
they see everything, but they don't see things in a common way. The way that we see things. For us, the conventional level is oriented towards the self. The enlightened being's perception of the conventional level is different than ours. We think we all have a common vision with them, but we don't.
How did the Buddhists talk about this ultimate reality that's emptiness? And modern physics has basically come around. They've looked in the tiniest little parts of time and space, and they said it's empty.
Yeah.
How did the Buddhists figure that out 2,000 years ago?
How did they know
that the world? Because science now says yes, the world is essentially empty.
Yeah.
How did the Buddhists? How did they figure that out 2,000 years ago?
Because Buddha is enlightenment.
The Buddha understood the true nature of reality because he was enlightened.
That means
he knew the nature of all phenomena. He had no more illusions. He saw all things correctly. But it's difficult to explain or for us to recognize, because as sentient beings we live in a state of heavy illusion. The Buddha gave us the methods in order to help us to know how to grow in wisdom.
Illusion, does that mean that when they walk down the street they're making stuff up that's not there? I mean, what's the illusion that's giving them so much problem?
Example, you are asleep and I'm not sleeping.
For example, you're asleep and I'm not sleeping. If you're sleeping, you may dream, and some of your dreams may be very scary for you. You hope to be freed from that, but you don't know how. If I had the power, I could help free you from your illusion. then I can help you and you'd have no more suffering.
Suffering. Like same is like enlightenment I said, level like
the
that.
Enlightenment level is like that.
Already
the Buddha has already like abandoned suffering. It is like he
we
has woken up.
Sleeping,
we are still sleeping and
heavy,
dreaming
heavy
in heavy illusion.
We had suffering.
We have
so
suffering.
This is the technique.
So wisdom is the technique
wisdom.
To wake up.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tashi Bill.
You say that all the negative emotions come from self?
Yeah.
That was a good answer.
Yeah.